At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
This is the Greg Peterson Experience.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
On VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You've got a pair of tremendous hours coming up for you. You've got a lot of baseball to be able to dissect. Few games for Wednesday that are going to be getting all wrapped up. We've got everything in progress as of right now, but we've got a lot to be able to turn it forward to for Thursday, as we actually got a relatively decent slate for Thursday. With it being a travel day, you never know how those are going to be able to go, but we've got 10 games on the card, so we'll have some fun there. We've got ourselves the NFL draft about 24 hours away from that first round, so got to be taking a look there, and we're going to be talking a little bit more hockey on the show tonight, as we're going to be joined by one of our good friends, Ian McMillan. He does great work over at BetSided, one of the best name podcasts ever, the Bacon Bets podcast. He's going to be joining me in about 15 minutes. We're going to be dissecting what we're all seeing in the NHL playoffs with him. We're also going to be taking a look at the NFL draft, how he takes a look at some of these props. Are there a few markets that we still have a little bit of meat on the bone on to be able to bet into as well? So we'll be talking about that with him in hour number one. And then hour number two, we're going to be joined by Anthony DeBundo. He does tremendous work over at Action Network. We're going to be discussing with him a little bit about how he's gauging the NFL draft as well. And then on top of that, we're going to be taking a look at a little bit of baseball with him as well. So we're going to get a lot of NFL draft in the middle part of hours number one, hour number two, and looking a little bit more at live game action in the front half and the back half of the hour as well. As right now, we are in progress with regards to the Celtics versus Heat game. You just started the fourth quarter, and right now the Miami Heat, they're in control. They still have the lead by kind of 85 to 79. If you're looking at the live line right now, the Boston Celtics are laying a point and a half. And I don't necessarily think that this would be the world's worst look to be able to dive in. Now, personally, I just thought that this number was too lofty coming into the day. I was talking about this on the show yesterday and the day before. You've got a Miami Heat team that won the series last year. And granted, the Boston Celtics look much better this season than they did a season ago. I felt like bringing in Jrue Holiday was very big for them. Kristaps Porzingis, this is a little bit of a different Celtics team going against a Heat team that you had a few moving parts from this team from a season ago. You bring in Jaime Jaquez in the NBA draft, which, under the radar, relatively solid pick. You've got an actual healthy Tyler Hero this far this season as well, and I just looked at this number being right around about 14 to 15, depending upon when you got it, and felt like it was just a little bit too lofty in general, and I do think that there's probably going to need to be a little bit of market correction when it comes to the series. Because if you just play out the numbers as to what we all saw in game number two, if you go with your boilerplate of 3 points with regards to home court advantage, which I know that John Von Tobel, you literally just heard a few minutes ago on VSiN Primetime, he's been talking about this the last few days, in which maybe it make it worth a little bit more than 3 points, and I would wholeheartedly agree with him, especially that first game in the NBA playoffs. Once you get into game number two, we've been seeing it throughout this playoffs. It does feel like teams are able to find their bearings a little bit more. They're able to get their feet under them, whatever term you want to use here, and they just feel a little bit more comfortable in general. But if you're playing out that just 3 points for home court narrative, that makes the Celtics probably about 7.5 to 8 point road favorites. And that's something I just wouldn't be able to get with in general. Fully recognize that the Miami Heat have just been in flamethrower mode from three-point range here tonight. But I do think that under the radar, you do want to be taking a look at the experience that you've got in the playoffs. And it's something that I've been saying a lot on this show, and I do think that is very much true with regards to the NBA. Typically, you have to lose before you can win. Right now, we're seeing the Orlando Magic going through that quite a bit now for the OKC Thunder. So far, so good for them. But even them, they had a nip-and-tuck game against the New Orleans Pelicans in game number one. We shall see what we're going to be getting in about 30 minutes when about a 7.5-point favorite right now in the OKC Thunder. Total is 211.5, and I do think that there could be some, once again, very good live betting opportunities in this game as well. Like, if you took a look at game number one and how that game played out, there was a lot of topsy-turviness for the OKC Thunder to be able to get that game won by one possession, as that was a game where the OKC Thunder, they had pretty good control of it in, I would say, the mid to late third quarter. They blow that lead late, they're able to regroup, they're able to find a way to be able to get the job done. But I would say that if you can get the OKC Thunder to be able to get up by a count of like maybe 30 to 20, maybe like a 25 to 17, being able to get the New Orleans Pelicans live, that's something that I'm really going to be looking at, just because I just keep going back to it. With the Pelicans, they're going to be shorthanded once again in this game, but I think that there truly is something to a team that went 28-14 on the road during the regular season. And these guys have been very much road warriors. You do have guys that have had some battles in the playoffs. I'm not saying that they've got the world's greatest amount of playoff experience. And again, not necessarily say that it's been a happy and rosy playoff experience, but you've got some playoff experience here. You've had a guy in CJ McCollum who's been through some battles. You've had a guy who has been just going through it in Jonas Valanciunas, who's a hardcore veteran that had 20 rebounds in game number one. So that's really something that I'm going to be taking a look at. Really just don't want to be firing on these games prior to it. But I think that in-game, you're able to find some very, very valuable opportunities. And we've been finding some on the show. So hopefully we'll be able to find another one tonight right here on the Greg Peterson Experience on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And something else that we do need to dive in on as well is now I feel like we're starting to get that sample size where we're starting to find out a little bit more in baseball who's for real and who's for not. Now, you don't want to be making end-all, be-all, sweeping, just sort of assumptions about these teams or anything like that, because we certainly have seen some teams that started out the year hot and they're starting to fall back to earth. Like, I'm someone from the great state of Wisconsin. The Milwaukee Brewers entered into the week about a week and a half ago as the number one offense in all of baseball. Ever since that point, the Milwaukee Brewers, they have scored 3 runs or fewer in 6 out of their last 7 games. If they don't notch a run here in the 9th inning, it's going to be 7 out of their last 8 games. Falling back to earth a little bit, you sort of expected that. Are they as bad as a team that has scored 3 runs or fewer in 7 out of their last 8 games? No. Are they as good as a team that was averaging north of 6 runs per game in the first about 2.5 to 3 weeks of the season? Also no. So I do think that that's very important to be doing, and you are seeing some ups and downs just with these teams, even from a night-in, night-out basis as well. Like, the LA Dodgers had a tough time being able to put up some runs yesterday. They have taken it out on poor Jake Irvin, who actually shut them out last time he faced them. That was that game in Los Angeles about a week or so ago. Nationals were able to take 2 out of 3 in that series. Well, he became a human pinata tonight. Right now, the LA Dodgers are up by a count of 8-2. If you took the over, you've already gotten there on that front. And right now, they're looking for more. So that's been a little bit of an issue. And hey, the Chicago White Sox entered into tonight, averaging 2.2 runs per game. They've already got 3 up on the board entering into the bottom of the 5th inning. And if you took that total of 6.5 over, like I was talking about yesterday, you're already there. And that's always one of those key numbers when it comes to baseball. Like, we always talk about key numbers in football. Now, I personally, when it comes to basketball, really don't view as many key numbers. If there is one in college basketball, it's probably 3, just because when it comes to late game fouling and everything like that, if there's 45 seconds left on the clock, you're down by 3, you're probably not going to be fouling. If you're down multiple possessions and there's like 35 seconds remaining, then you're definitely fouling. That's always a number that I do take a look at, but past that, I really don't view them as much. When it comes to MLB totals, there's really just one that I take a look at, and that is the 6.5 to 7 bump. And that's the one bump where I'm going to take a look at a little bit more juice, because if you could just get both teams to be able to get to 3 runs, and even the poopy White Sox, who have been absolutely inept at the plate, you'd swear some of these guys are up there with a blindfold on, even them are able to get to three runs on a lot of nights. So that's something that you do want to be taking a look at, in my opinion. When you're able to get those 6.5 totals, you really, really, really need to like that pitching matchup under. And even if you like that pitching matchup under, you better have a relatively solid bullpen out there as well, because some of these schlubs can give up that lead very, very quickly. But also in terms of baseball, I'm talking about starting to be able to form a little bit of an opinion of a team, starting to realize, all right, maybe this team that we had high expectations on, maybe we need to punt a little bit. I'm looking at you, the Houston Astros, a team that entered the night 7-15, and it's not like the offense has been terrible. Yordan Alvarez continues hit. Jose Altuve continues hit. Now, something I always mention on this show, Alex Bregman. He's off to an Alex Bregman-like start. I have no idea what it is about that guy, but first month and a half of the season, he just has no idea what he's doing. Like, it happens every single year, but I mean, Houston has honestly been fine at the plate. His Houston team, though, they just have not been able to get any pitching whatsoever. You have to wonder if Justin Verlander being back for start number two, and we're going to be seeing him on the mound on Thursday, if that's going to be able to give them a little bit of a boost. But a lot of people just underrate the depth pieces when it comes to baseball, and typically this is where you can go wrong in Major League Baseball, because when it came to the bullpen of the Houston Astros, a lot of people thought it was going to be just as good as it has been in past years because they pick up Josh Hader. You've got Ryan Presley, Josh Hader in the back half of the bullpen, and if these two guys are not absolutely pristine, that puts you in a really rough situation, because what Houston had to do to be able to bring in Josh Hader is they had to sort of pull the plug on some of the, shall we say, lesser relievers that were pretty rock solid. You can say what you will about Phil Maton. He's not the world's greatest reliever, but he was still able to do a competent job for the Houston Astros. You lose Hector Neris. You lose a few other guys from that bullpen. Ryan Stanek comes to mind. He's now with the Seattle Mariners. Not having those guys, it really does add up, because you take a look from sport to sport. In the NBA, for example, you never want to be trading a dollar for four quarters. You would rather have the dollar. You always want those superstar players when it comes to the NBA. Baseball, in my opinion, is the exact opposite, because in baseball, you pretty much have a set amount of at-bats for every single hitter. For a starting pitcher, it's not like you can throw him on Tuesday, have him go for 100 pitches, and it's like, oh, we're going to run it back on Thursday. Nope, you've got a finite amount of starts for these guys. They can only make so much of an impact. This is a sport where, in my opinion, you want to be taking a look at those teams that, instead of having like two $1 bills, you've got eight quarters. You always want the eight quarters as opposed to the two $1 bills in baseball. Aside from maybe the postseason. Like, when it comes to the postseason, you shorten up rotations. Sure, then you maybe take a look at a little bit more of those superstars, those big gun pitchers, what have you. But when it comes to baseball during the regular season, depth is so key. And depth with regards to our guests is so key as well. I know that our producer Dan has so many great guests that he's able to call upon, and we're going to be doing so next. As Ian McMillan, he does great work over at BetSided and the Bacon Bets podcast. He's going to join me. We're going to talk a little NFL draft and a little NHL playoffs with him next on the Greg Peterson Experience on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more. We'll be right back.
You're experiencing Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Check out the all-new VSiN.com. We've got you covered with every single betting market on the face of planet Earth. Tim Murray, along with Matt Eumanns, have their NFL mock drafts up to get you guys set for what is going to be all happening on Thursday. I know that Adam Burke is doing a tremendous job on the baseball front. Our friend John Von Tobel has been doing amazing work taking a look at the NBA and so much more. Whether you're a fan of tennis, the NBA, NFL, list goes on and on. There's something for everyone at the all-new, all-improved VSiN.com. We're back here on the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line. We've got Ian McMillan aboard. He does an amazing job over at BetSided. Coupled with that one, the best name podcast out there, the Bacon Bets Podcast. And Ian, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Greg. Yeah, usually I'm in a great mood hopping on to talk with you, Greg. But I got my Leafs game on here in the background, and it's been a struggle so far tonight. And they just missed a couple of wide open nets on the power play, too. So, I'm happy to be here. But I'm dying on the inside as I'm talking with you, Greg.
That happens a lot when we are sweating out bets on these shows. On the outside, we're trying to be cheery. We're trying to give good information. And on the inside, your insides are rotting. And that's one of the cases for you right now. And I do want to just get into that series a little bit, because I do want to just gauge what you've been observing from both this game and just the Maple Leafs the last few weeks in general, because it did feel like the Maple Leafs have been able to do a little bit of a better job with their defense, with their goaltending. And thus far, they've given up 2 goals or in the third period. That's not the world's worst place to be, but they've just been getting shut down by the Boston Bruins tonight. And to your point, missing a few open opportunities.
Yeah, one issue, Greg, that they've had actually all year, which actually hasn't been an issue in past years with the Maple Leafs, is their power play has not been good all season. I chalk it up to poor coaching. I think Sheldon Keefe is one of the worst coaches in the NHL. I wanted them to move on from him this past offseason. They didn't. And now we're seeing, especially in this game, that lack of ability to put the puck in the net when on the power play is costing them. It hurt them at times in the regular season. Boston has scored 2 power play goals tonight, or at least one of them was power play. And the Leafs have had plenty of chances themselves, but just can't score when they have a man advantage. So to me, that's the storyline both in this game tonight and in it's going to be something to watch for the rest of the series too. You can't beat the Bruins without taking advantage of power play opportunities, and the Leafs have not been able to do that.
Yep, it has been interesting to gauge. And the Maple Leafs, if they're unable to come back and are unable to win this one, they'd be one of the first home teams to really fall. We saw in the early part of the NHL playoffs just all these home teams winning left and right. We saw a little bit of reversal on Tuesday with the Avalanche going up to Winnipeg, knocking off the Jets, and then the Nashville Predators being able to get the job done as well. But how have you been gauging home ice advantage here in the NHL playoffs? Because thus far, a lot of the home teams have been able to defend their home ice.
I don't know if it's necessary. I mean, I generally don't, evaluate home ice advantage to too big of an extent. I think generally these NHL playoffs are a little bit top heavy. I think in a lot of matchups, the team that is naturally the home team, because they're the higher seeded team, is just much better than the team they're playing against. The Rangers, way better than the Capitals. Capitals, one of the worst playoff teams I've seen in the NHL in quite some time. You think about some other series, the Hurricanes are way better than the Islanders. The Oilers are just a way better team than the Kings. So I don't know if it's necessarily home ice advantage that's playing a huge role in this game. I just think some of these series are even more lopsided than maybe the series odds indicated heading into the first round.
Yep, I think that that's a good way of taking a look at it as well, because in the NHL, typically you expect to see a few more upsets. Typically you see a little bit more hoopla in general, but I don't know if it's maybe just building off of your point a little bit, but it does feel like there might be a little bit more of a divide between some of these like top 3, top 4 teams in each conference rather than what there has been in past years, because we all remember last year, just a whole bunch of chaos, especially out there on the eastern side of things, and it doesn't feel like we're going to be getting as much of that this year.
Yeah, in years past, even the lower seeded teams, they would have something that would at least, challenge the opposing team. Last year, when I think the Florida Panthers were an 8 seed, they at least had Sergei Bobrovsky, who got really hot. And some years past, some other teams who maybe weren't great, but, you know, they could score at a high rate, or maybe they had a great power play. The lower seeded teams this year just don't really have anything to offer the higher seeded teams they're playing against in the first round. Now, with that being said, I think we're going to see some chaos in the second round, because It is top heavy, where I think the top, I would say 10 out of the 16 playoff teams are significantly better than probably the bottom six, but very little separates number one and number 10. So I think we're going to start seeing some chaotic series a little bit more starting in the second round.
Yep, absolutely. And this one could be a little bit chaotic as well, as Ian McMillan, who does great work over at the Bacon Bets podcast and BetSided, joining me on the Greg Peterson Experience on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And we've got coming up literally in about 10 minutes, Vegas Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars. The Golden Knights were able to steal game number one in Dallas. They're currently up 1-0. And right now with the Stars, you're going to be finding them right around about minus 160, minus 170 on the money line. How do you take a look at this game number two? Because the Golden Knights, I felt like, had a really good game plan going into game number one. They were able to get the win by a count of 4-3. And for the Dallas Stars, they really heated up with their offense towards the back half of the season, but you do have to wonder if that was a little bit in spite of the defense that has been so good for them the last few seasons.
Yeah, I mean, the Golden Knights were one of the few road teams to win in game one, but I actually did think the Stars played the better game. And the Golden Knights only got 15 shots on net. If the Golden Knights want to win this series, they can't bank on scoring four goals on 15 shots again. So I think tonight, in game two, I think we're going to see Jake Oettinger have a bit of a bounce back spot. He's too good to be allowing four goals on 15 shots. And I think the Stars, especially when you look at like even expected goals, they had an expected goal differential of plus 0.95. So almost a full goal better than the Golden Knights, despite losing in game one. So, I mean, that's the great thing about sports, especially hockey. You know, sometimes even the better teams even plays a better game and still happens to lose. So, I am on the Stars, even though they lost game one. I do think they played good enough to not make me lose hope in them heading into the rest of the series.
And how do you take a look at that total of six as well? I mentioned this just because we saw Logan Thompson in goal in game number one. And for the Golden Knights, it's sort of been like just a revolving door between their goaltenders, between Thompson, between Aiden Hill. It's just been in case where there hasn't been a lot of consistency for the Golden Knights, and you mentioned with Oettinger, I feel like he's one of the biggest upside guys out there in all of hockey, but he does seem to be a little bit streaky as well.
Yeah, the total's tough because, you don't want to look at a one-game sample size too much, but, I mean, really only like 44, 45 total shots on goal in game one, which is a pretty low amount of shots, but then neither goalie played well in game one either, so what do you want to back? Do you want to back, you know, some of the shooting statistics, which make me lean it's going to go under, or do you want to back that the goalies are going to kind of continue to struggle a little bit in the series, and then you'd want to go with the over? So it depends on what way you would look at it. I would probably lean a little bit closer to the over in this one with the way that the total is set. But I would feel a lot more comfortable just kind of backing the favorite in the Stars.
And then you did mention that this one is a little bit more of a, shall we say, lopsided series, and I don't disagree with you. We've got the Oilers and the LA Kings are going to be coming up in about 40 minutes, and the Oilers, they're about minus 190 favorites as of right now. You're seeing that goal total. In some places, that is a 6. I'm seeing some places with a 6.5 with the juice heavily on the under. How do you evaluate this sort of matchup? Because I do think that the Oilers should be a relatively sizable favorite, but it does get to be a little bit unsettling when you're having to lay like a minus 190, minus 195.
Yeah, I ended up just laying the juice on the money line. I decided not to go puck line just because the Oilers goaltender Stuart Skinner does make me a little bit nervous. He went on stretches where he played really well this season, but he didn't play as well as I would have liked in game one. But at the end of the day, I mean, the Oilers scored 7 goals in game one. Now, usually when you score 7 goals in a game, that's just, you know, the matter of really good shooting or bad goaltending. But when you look at their expected goals, even their expected goals was at 5.09, which you don't normally see that high of an expected goals metric in a game. That just shows me how good offensively the Oilers were at not only putting the puck in the net, but creating a ton of high danger scoring opportunities. So I like the Oilers in this game. I would probably back the over as well because the Kings themselves, the Oilers got 23 high danger scoring chances in game one. The Kings got 16, really a high mark for both teams. So if we see any kind of repeat performance in game two, I think we're probably going to see a bit of a high scoring affair. But at the end of the day, the Oilers are probably the team to back. So if you want to get more aggressive, you can take puck line. I just decided to just lay money line and just hope for an easy win and kind of move on to game three.
And in terms of gauging money line versus puck line, is it a little bit more difficult in the playoffs just because in the playoffs you will see the goalie get pulled a little bit sooner? But as we know, these are just absolute fights to the bitter end for a lot of these teams as well. So I always do gauge that money line versus puck line sort of scenario, and I think that's one of the toughest things to gauge as a hockey bettor.
It's extremely tough, and I generally just like to stay away from the puck line. I haven't had a lot of success betting on it. I mean, I was on the Rangers puck line there last night, and they couldn't score an empty net goal. So, yeah, you might get a little bit more time with an empty net at the other end, but also the team defending that empty net is going to be laying it on the line, trying to keep you from putting it in even harder than they do in the regular season. So it's tough to judge when I'm kind of 50-50. I end up just going money line and feel a little bit more safer doing it that way.
And I do think that that's the best way of going about it. When in doubt, play it a little bit safer. No need to try to get greedy if you think that you're going to be able to get a winner in. And we've always got a winner when we've got Ian McMillan on the show. He does great work with the Bacon Bets podcast, along with Bet Sided. And I know that he's doing a great job gauging the NHL playoffs. But on top of that, I know that he's doing a great job being prepared for the NFL draft. We're less than 24 hours away from it. So we'll talk about Ian, some of what he's taking a look at, and so much more right here on the Greg Peterson Experience on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
You're experiencing Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Experience the thrill of the NFL draft with VSiN's exclusive coverage on Thursday. I'm going to be off and I'm going to be clearing way for the GM shuffle. Michael Lombardi, Femi Abebefe, they take over the Greg Peterson Experience tomorrow, bringing you real-time analysis of all the first-round picks. Michael, as you know, he's a former NFL GM. He knows a lot about the front office side of things, and he's going to give his thoughts on every single draft pick and trade as they do happen. Prior to that, you've got VSiN Prime Time with Tim Murray and John Von Tobel, being joined by the Golics, Mike Golic Sr. and Mike Golic Jr., as they dive in on all the NFL draft prospects and the predictions for them. And on top of that, you're able to watch all of this on VSiN, the DraftKings Network, and VSiN's YouTube page. So expanded coverage there. And then cap it all off at 11 p.m. Eastern with VSiN Tonight, where you've got old Matt Eumanns along with Wes Reynolds taking a look at all that we saw in the first round of the NFL draft. Find all of our draft analysis and insights, including the mock drafts of both Tim Murray and Matt Eumanns, over on VSiN.com/draft. We're back here on the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Joining me on the Progressive Guest Line is Ian McMillan. He does great work over at Bet Sided and the Bacon Bets podcast, and very fitting that we're going to be talking a little NFL draft with you here on the Progressive Guest Line. And Ian, just first things first, before we take a look at some specific picks, some teams, what have you, just how do you go about betting the NFL draft every year? Because with the NFL draft, I do think that it's one of those markets where it's the most volatile out there, because I still remember a year ago, people were thinking Will Levis was going to be like the number two overall pick. Not only did he not go number two, but he went all the way down in the second round. And it feels like it's a market where sometimes you feel like you know everything, when in reality, you know nothing.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Greg. I think there's two different ways that you should go about betting on the NFL draft. Number one, it's one of two extremes. Either number one, you have to be extremely locked in on the draft. You have to be paying attention to the markets. You have to be line shopping. You have to be, you know, be ready to jump on every single breaking news report. And if you're not all the way in like that, then you need to go the complete opposite way and just look at the betting on the NFL draft as being fun, because we're not handicapping a sport. We're handicapping where players are going to be drafted, and it is a lot of hearsay. It's a lot of basing it off reports. It's a lot of your own personal opinion. So, I do it more for fun. I've lowered my volume a bit more this year, and most of my bets, I'm not just basing it off of where everyone thinks people are going to land, because once the draft happens, there's never any NFL insider that nailed everything that happened. So I'm trying to be a little bit more of a contrarian with some of my picks this year.
Yep, and the best of the best, when it comes to the NFL mock draft, they're going to get it wrong as well, because you could have one person that really doesn't know what they're evaluating in a front office make a rogue pick that nobody saw coming, and, well, you got it wrong because you couldn't gauge the fact that you've got some rogue guy that has no idea what the heck he's doing. So that always makes it very interesting, to say the least. And just how do you take a look at the quarterbacks in this year's draft? Because no doubt about it, we've got three top-flight guys. We all know that Caleb Williams, unless if something really, really happens here in the next 24 hours, he's going to be going to the Chicago Bears. From there, you've got Jaden Daniels along Drake May, who should be following up right after that. And then the wild card becomes where Jake McCarthy goes. And I really think that that's where the NFL draft starts. If someone decides to trade up for Jake McCarthy, or if a team that maybe doesn't necessarily need a quarterback, but they decide, you know what, maybe we'll let JJ McCarthy sit for a year or two, if they decide to take a shot.
Yeah, or the true curveball, which would throw off pretty much everyone's mock draft, would be if the Patriots decide to go J.J. McCarthy at three, which I heard there was some steam behind that today. And then, you know, Drake May would likely kind of be the odd man out, and we'll see kind of where he lands. So it is impossible to tell. I think what's kind of the most interesting thing to me in terms of the quarterbacks this year is more so where that second tier quarterback is going to go. Where's Bo Nix going to go? Where's Michael Penix Jr. going to go? Will those guys go in the first round? Will they both drop out of the second round? I think that's kind of really where it gets interesting, because even if J.J. McCarthy or Drake May, if one of those guys, obviously one of them will not be in the top three, I still think generally they're probably going to get selected in, you know, the top 11. I can't see going past the Vikings without that fourth quarterback going. So, yeah, I think to me personally, I'm more interested in where the Bo Nix, you know, and Michael Penix Jr. goes, because those are a little bit more of the wild cards at the position. But then again, I mean, how many times now have we seen, you know, a top quarterback prospect, you know, fall all the way out down into like a late first, early second round pick? You mentioned it with Will Levis last year. I mean, there's plenty of examples of players in the past that fell, Lamar Jackson all the way down to the very end of the first round when he was a rookie. So I don't know if we'll see that or the top four guys this year, but it's certainly possible. We've seen it in the past.
Yep, we certainly have. Just look back 12 months ago to your point. I see Ian McMillan. He does great work over at Betside and the Bacon Bets podcast. He's joining me on the Greg Peterson Experience on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And that has been the hopped up button topic with regards to the NFL draft, where all these quarterbacks are going to be going. And rightfully so. It's what we buzz about every single year. But how much do you want to take a look at more of those, for lack of a better term, ancillary markets? Because I take a look at offensive linemen. Perhaps we're going to be seeing a little bit of a run on them. Certainly the wide receivers in this year's draft, headlined by Marvin Harrison Jr., what we're going to be seeing out of guys like Dooms and company. I mean, those are guys that are really going to be movers and shakers as well. And how much did you look at those sort of markets for this draft? Because it feels like they all have been sort of lost in the abyss of the chatter of the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'll say one thing that I did bet on that I actually like quite a bit. I got it around 3-1. And I'll tell you what, Greg, this NFL draft, there are some names that are going to be taken in the top 10 that I can't pronounce. And one of them is Olamouya Fashanu. I butchered that name. I apologize. There's a couple others guys going to be drafted first round. I can't pronounce either. But I'd see him as the number two offensive lineman, and I bet on him to be taken inside the top 10 at around 3-1. I think that's a pretty solid pick. I think there's, you know, a few teams that could take an offensive lineman inside the top 10. Obviously, Joe Walt is almost a lock to go in the top 10. He's going to be the first one taken off the board. But if the Chargers keep hold on to their pick and take Joe Walt, the Titans are, you know, probably going to go in, with an offensive lineman at number 7. Someone could trade up with the Bears, you know, and trade an offensive lineman at number 9. Maybe even the Bears take an offensive lineman at number 9. The Jets, I mean, a lot of people are talking about Brock Bowers potentially going to the Jets at number 10. But actually, the betting favorite for what position the Jets will take is offensive linemen. So I think there's a lot of opportunities for two linemen to go in the top 10. And Fashanu, 3-1 to be a top 10 pick. I love that. That might be my favorite bet for tomorrow's opening round.
I do like that look. And Ian, what I think is so interesting about this time with regards to the NFL draft is that, unlike out here in lovely Las Vegas, most of the country, you're still able to bet on the NFL draft. And as we know, a lot of the information, it comes out later and later on prior to the NFL draft. Now, some of it can be smoke screens. We see that time and time again with the NFL draft. Look no further than what the 49ers did many years ago when they took Trey Lance. So you always want to be gauging that. But how much do you think there is value in just holding tight and trying to be able to gauge a lot of those reports right now versus trying to be able to get in a little bit early? Because as we know, a lot of these NFL draft markets, they have been bet time and time again. And I do feel like it's just a very interesting scenario when it comes to trying to be able to get in late, because I feel like it can either be very much a defeatist sort of effort, and at the same time, you could be presented with some gold just a few minutes before the NFL draft.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to tell, Greg. I mean, there's, you know, some situations where getting in as early as possible is going to benefit you. There's other situations where getting in early, it's going to hurt you if some, you know, big report comes out a couple of weeks later. It's almost impossible. I truly think in terms of just like winning money, betting on sports, betting on the NFL draft might be the most difficult thing because there is no, you know, one size fits all strategy to follow. So what I try to do, my number one strategy is not necessarily to listen to reports, but I try to pick out some teams who have a set strategy when it comes to the NFL draft. Teams who have followed a strategy for a number of years, because a lot of times people make the mistake of betting on the NFL draft as if they were the ones who were drafting for these teams and predicting what the teams are going to do based on what they think they should do. But we should be looking at as what teams are going to do based on their history. The perfect example is my Atlanta Falcons, who obviously I'm very familiar with. They have said time and time again, their general managers come out and said that they will draft the best player available. It's why they took Bijan Robinson last year at number 8, despite having Tyler Allgeier coming off a great rookie season at running back. It's why they took Kyle Pitts, the tight end, at number 4 overall a couple of years ago. They say that they fill their needs in terms of positional needs through free agency, and their strategy is, no matter the position, to draft the best player available. So even though the Falcons are like minus 250 to take a defensive lineman or an edge rusher with their first pick, I don't think they're going to, because I think they're going to go somewhere else. Sure, edge rusher is clearly their number one need, but they don't draft for need. I bet on them to take receiver at 8-1. I think if one of the top 3 receivers are there for the Falcons at 8, they will continue to follow that strategy of drafting the best player available. So like a Rome Odunze, if he's available at number 8, the Falcons strategy would probably, you know, go in line with drafting him and getting Kirk Cousins another dynamic weapon at receiver. So I think that's what you need to do, is not necessarily, you know, bet based on what you think teams should do, but more so what they will do based on their history.
Oh, I'm right there with you. As a Green Bay Packers fan, I'm more likely to see a pig fly than the Packers take a wide receiver in the first round, but I always love getting you aboard, Ian. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Greg. Take care.
Coming up next, we'll take a look at the Thursday baseball card right here on the Greg Peterson Experience on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Do not miss out on any of the NBA playoff action over at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. They've got you covered with every single round of the playoffs all the way through the finals. And over at DraftKings Sportsbook, they've got all the bets that you all know and love. You've got live betting opportunities, odds boosts. You're able to take a look half by half. You're able to take a look at series prices, all the sides, all the totals, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Utilize the promo code of VSIM when you do, as new customers who place a bet of $5 can get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's with the promo code of VSIN, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, where the crown is indeed yours. As we're back here on the Greg Peterson Experience on Visa, the Sports Betting Network, and speaking of the NBA playoffs, this went final as we were talking with our good friend Ian McMillan. It is now in the books that the Miami Heat, they do get the job done against the Boston Celtics. This by a count of 111-101, as the Heat, well, they very much lived up to their name. They were on absolute fire from three-point range in this one. They just could not be cooled down throughout the game. So it's going to be very interesting to see what we get in terms of game number 3 in that line. We'll be taking a look at that in a second. But for the Heat, 23 of 43 from three-point range. If you lose a game where you shoot 23 of 43 from distance, well, that would be a little bit less than bueno. But that said, you saw Tyler Hero get 6 of 11 from three-point range. Caleb Martin, not necessarily known as the Mona Lisa Vito of three-point shooting, he went 5 of 6 from three-point range. You saw Nikolai Jovic, not Nikolai Jokic, Nikolai Jovic go 3 of 4 from three-point range. Absolute insanity here from three-point range for the Miami Heat. And it's not like the Boston Celtics were necessarily like super cold from three. 12 of 32 from distance, 37%. That's a sustainable number. Yeah, Jaylen Brown go out there, give you 33 points. Jason Tatum at his 28. It was just a night where the Miami Heat flat out could not miss. So I think that's going to be very interesting to see where this game number three gets priced. Right now, we are seeing an opener of at DraftKings with the Boston Celtics, a 7.5-point road favorite, total of 205.5. Now, if you're playing the regression slash progression game, you have to think that the three-point shooting numbers are going to iron out a little bit. But still, as I was alluding to a little bit before, it just doesn't feel like, even though you've got the Jimmy Butler injury, even though you've got some guys currently out for the Miami Heat, that this line should be 7.5 as well. So that's something that you do very much wrestle with, because I feel like the line was off to begin with in game number two, but also at the same time, you have to fully recognize that the Miami Heat, I don't think that Lightning is going to be striking twice for them. So we shall see what happens on that front. And then in terms of the game that just got going, in terms of the Pelicans and the OKC Thunder, this was a number that closed right around 7.5. And hey, the Pelicans off to a 7-3 lead, as I was referring to. Hopefully the Pelicans get down. You get a little bit of a live betting opportunity there. And you know what? If the live betting opportunity doesn't come, you don't need to force it up. Right now, it's now 11-7 with the Pelicans up. Right now, if you like the Oklahoma City Thunder live, you're able to get them at right around about a -7.5 as they bury a 3. So we're right back to where we started. So that's something that I'll be gauging. And if we get some sort of an opportunity that comes about, absolutely tremendous. If not, well, we don't get it. But that said, we're going to have plenty of opportunities to be able to take a look at the baseball front for this Thursday. We've got 10 games in total in action, as we do have a few games are currently off the board, because right now for the Boston Red Sox, they put Brian Bayo on the injured list. They're probably going to be determining their pitching after this game, so we are going to be seeing what we get there. But this game I do think is very intriguing, because we saw the LA Dodgers on Wednesday put up 20 hits against the Washington Nationals. Now it's about gauging whether or not they're going to be able to keep it going. This is 907-908 on the card, as you got Yoshinobu Yamamoto is going to be going for the LA Dodgers, and old Mackenzie Gore is on the bump for the home-standing Washington Nationals. Total on this game, you're finding a lot of nines, but we've seen this come down to 8.5 in a few spots as well. With the Dodgers, you're going to be getting them between -180 and seeing as high as -192. Between about +160, +170 is that number on the Washington Nationals. And if you're looking at more of a run line price as of right now, you're going to be finding that right around about -115 to -120 with the LA Dodgers. And typically with a lot of teams, it's like a little bit more of a, sometimes you take the money line, sometimes you take the run line. In spots like this, I am very much a stand for taking a look at the Dodgers either on the run line when you have a chalkier number like this, or taking the other team's money line. Biggest reason for this, I lay it out every single time, and I think that's worth bringing up once again. The LA Dodgers, since the beginning of the 2022 season. Now, I think that I might be off by a win here, because they just won against the Washington Nationals here on Wednesday. But that said, they have won 225 regular season games. All but 35 of them have come by multiple runs. So either they lose outright or they win by multiple runs. You're able to save yourself a whole lot of juice on that front. But that said, this is a circumstance where I was willing to lay up to about -125 with that Dodgers run line, and I would have needed a bigger plus number to be able to take a look on the Nationals. So I'm going to be looking there, and I do think that for the LA Dodgers, they are starting to get a little bit hot, and this is a bunch that you do want to be backing when they are able to just really heat up in general. And because of everything that we did see in the game on Wednesday, you do have to expect that both of these teams going to be a little bit more tired with regards to their bullpens. And I do think that this is always something that you want to take a look at as well, because the Washington Nationals and the LA Dodgers, they just played a week ago as well. When you see a team for like a second time in 2 weeks, like you're seeing right now, that means that you've got more familiarity with those bullpen arms. I always think that that's a little bit more of an advantage to the hitter. It's just one of those things that I take a look at right here on the Greg Peterson Experience on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And for the Washington Nationals, they entered into the night on Wednesday actually a top 10 team in the big leagues, In terms of their bullpen ERA, they've been able to have few guys really be able to step up, but they did have to use up Dylan Floro on Wednesday. He's been able to supply you with a sub-1 ERA. He's actually been very good for the team. He'd been able to get guys like Jordan Weems, Derek Law, to be able to give you some relatively representative and solid innings. The biggest thing for the Washington Nationals is they went out in the offseason. They knew that they needed a little bit more power, and they tried to bring in a few bats to be able to help out, and right now they're not delivering a lot. Eddie Rosario along with Joey Gallo. I mean, how miserable is it that both of these guys are hitting below .140? Now, granted, for Joey Gallo, he's been able to move the line a little bit, about a 300 on base, but I still am a believer that you should be sticking some sort of stock in a batting average. I recognize that it's not the same number that it used to be many, many years ago, but when you're hitting a .134, you're probably not doing the world's greatest job at the plate. I don't think it's rocket science to come to that conclusion. Meanwhile, you've had Jesse Winker give you north of 400 on base. CJ Abrams has really been the, shall we say, saving grace for this lineup. 6 home runs. He's able to give you some stolen bases. That's been rock solid. But you just take a look at the Death Star that is the LA Dodgers at the top of the fold. You've got Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, both with 5-plus home runs, both giving you north of a .433 on base. And you haven't even had Freddie Freeman really give you a whole heck of a lot of power yet. I think he's stuck on 1 home run. Has still been moving the line. He's still giving you 400 on base, so he's been solid there. But Will Smith got jiggy with it on Wednesday. He had 4 hits. He's giving you a 400 on base. Max Muncy has been able to for a little bit more average this season. The one place where you do go wrong for the LA Dodgers, some of the guys at the bottom of the fold, guys like Gavin Lux, James Altman, Chris Taylor has been especially miserable for the team. But that, like, top 6, it is about as fearsome as it gets. And for the LA Dodgers, bullpen as they get a little bit of a setback this year as well. Ryan Brazier, when he came over from the Boston Red Sox, he last year was tremendous. He's been posting up right around a 5 ERA. Got used for about 10 pitches in the game on Wednesday. And the good news for the LA Dodgers is that because they were able to have young Mr. Knack be able to give them a good start on Wednesday, that does reset their bullpen a little bit. They didn't have to go through a lot more of their trustworthy guys like a Danny Hudson, like even someone like an Alex Vesia. So that helps them out a little bit as well. But for Yamamoto, he's been inconsistent thus far this season. The swing and miss stuff is there. 30 strikeouts in 22 innings, and much of these struggles that he had was in that Seoul series where they had to take on the San Diego Padres out there in South Korea. He got completely lit up like a Christmas tree in that one. Ever since then, he's been a little bit better, but still, last two starts, combined 11 innings, giving up 7 runs, 6 of which earned. He's giving up a lot of hard contact. He's not giving up a lot of contact, but when he does give up contact, it's relatively hard, so it does make it a little bit of an interesting circumstance. With Mackenzie Gore, he's able to give you about 10 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he's very prone to giving up the deep ball as well, and this is just a Dodgers train that simply I don't want to be stepping in front of. I do like the Dodgers on the run line. I'm willing to lay up to about a minus 125 there, and did set my total a little bit north of 9. I think that with Yamamoto, he's still going through some growing pains, being able to adjust to Major League Baseball, the pitch clock, what have you, so do like the over, and I do like that run line. Then do want to take a look at this one as well. 903-904 on the card. It is the Philadelphia Phillies on the road taking on the Cincinnati Reds. So we are on to Cincinnati, and they're on to Nick Martinez getting the start for them. Meanwhile, Zach Wheelan and Dylan Wheeler on the bump for the Phillies. Phillies between minus 146, minus 155, between plus 130 and plus 137 is that number on the Reds. And I was willing to go up to about a minus 150 with the Phillies on the money line. If you're looking at that run line, you're only getting about a plus 105. Personally, I would rather go with a chalkier, like, minus 145 money line rather than a run line. I recognize that it's easier to win by multiple runs when you're the road team and you get your full at-bats, but I do think that this could be a spot where it does get a little bit tricky. I would rather be just taking a little bit of the safer approach as the Phillies bullpen entered into the series dead last in the big leagues in terms of ERA, but Wheeler, he has been really good. So look in there, and at an 8.5, I will be taking a look at this total over as well. Coming next, I'll get you guys my DK Network write-up for this Baseball Thursday here on the Greg Peterson Experience on Visa, the Esports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.